When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's Bud Pod 136.
136. Hun, see this? It's someone who's newly married, who's just seen a reduced deal on cheap kitchen roll. Hun, see this?
An offer for a city break to Prague.
Yeah. Hun, see this. Would you be a little perturbed if someone said to you, hey, Pierre, see this, instead of, hey, Pierre, look at this? Because, hey, see this, that's correct, but it's a bit off.
You know what's weird is that it sounds a lot more correct if you say it as a question, like, hey, you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Then it works, but...
Yeah, whereas you can't do look at this as a question. Hey, you look at this?
You look at this? Hey, you look at this now?
Yeah, that's quite a sinister sort of request. You look at this?
Hey, you look at this?
Or and your family doesn't get hurt?
You look at this now? It's also weird, if someone was offering you a taste of something, a bite of something, to try it out, if you said, hey, try this, you'd be like, oh, okay. Whereas if someone said, hey, eat this, you'd be like, oh, why? Eat this, why? Try this, okay.
It's true.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, try this. Ooh, exciting. Hey, eat this. It's poisoned.
Yeah, or You'd only say eat this if it's like you have to take this pill before we go into space, which we're about to do, by the way. Quick, eat this.
Or you're about to machine gun a gang.
Yeah, or
a biker gang.
You're about to take a
eat this.
You're about to take a pill that renders you immune to the effects of the poison gas that's about to be released. Eat this.
Yeah, quick, eat this. Even then, you say, take this. Quick, take this.
Take this.
No, I think you have to be clear. You'd have to be clear that it has to be put in your mouth.
Yeah, if Morpheus had offered Neo the pill to come out the Matrix and said, hey, try this. it was a little piece of baklava.
Don't be a blue baklava cuck, Pierre.
Now I need to get red baklavaed.
Yeah.
Matrix is a Greek word, isn't it? Like matrices, matrix, or is that a Latin word? Maybe it's Latin.
Maybe it's Latin.
That'd be funny to watch. I'd watch Greek Matrix. That would be a funny remake.
I don't know enough about Greek people, modern Greek culture, to flourish this parody.
I guess Neo is dodging plates that someone's throwing.
That's good. I like that. There you go. Yeah, it's Matrix meets My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, My Big Fat Greek Matrix. And yeah, he's called Neopheles.
Nice.
Something like that. Yeah, I think this could be... I think this has legs. Let's sell it to Hollywood. Or rather, Grollywood.
I've just spilt a drop of my drink on my phone screen. And it's like, I've got no absorbent paper here, but I've got so many envelopes. And I've tried to wipe it with an envelope, and it just... And you know when you think all paper is a bit absorbent... But this is literally won't take any. It's just moving it around the screen. It's like, I thought paper could absorb
Why do you have so many envelopes? Are you like Ringo Starr and you have to reply to every fan letter?
I'm currently at my office desk, which is literally just a desk in an empty cavernous room.
Yes, like you're a more kind of paperwork-minded version of the Punisher, yeah?
Yeah. Or I'm Q in James Bond and I've had to hastily relocate to a new safe house.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do that thing where you think, I'm going to set up a home office, and then you just buy all the things that a home office would have needed in the 70s? I'll get paper clips. I've got to clip this paper.
Sorry to any podbuds if you can hear my fax machine starting up later on. It's a really big one.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
A load of bullshit, really, Phil. A load of apps.
Well, speaking of Q, I saw the new James Bond.
Yeah?
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun rollick. I thought the lady character, Lea Seydoux's character, was a bit wet.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of feel they can have their cake and eat it with the lady characters in James Bond these days, because they know they have to, we got to get Phoebe Waller-Bridge on, and she's going to, you know, Twitter-proof our script. And the lovely Ana de Armas' character, they might as well just have put a watermark over her scenes going, Phoebe Waller-Bridge did this, because she just gets to her mission at the end of her mission with Bond and goes, that was very good. And he goes, you were excellent. And they go, thank you. Nice to meet you. Hopefully work again in a professional capacity. And that's it. And you're like, I think Waller-Bridge did that. But then with Lea Seydoux's character, she's so fucking wet. She's like, James, please, James. But then maybe twice in the movie, he's in danger, and then the gunshot comes out of nowhere, and it's bah, bah. And it's like, oh, it's Lea Seydoux. Maybe this damsel isn't in such... Maybe this damsel can look after her own self. But then they straight away forget that, and she's back to, James, please. It's a franchise that's unsure.
Huh?
Yeah. It's a franchise that is sort of in flux, I guess.
Yeah, well,
politically speaking.
It's one of those things where, like, you do sort of wonder, if you're in charge of the James Bond franchise, are you trying to appeal to people who never liked it anyway?
Mm.
You know, like, are you putting a hand-knitted pussy hat on a NASCAR? It's like, well...
Yeah.
The people, like all the people who would appreciate that gesture, like, aren't interested. Like, it's not going to help with the problem of NASCAR fans. You know what I mean?
Yes. But James Bond, you know, they need to start appealing to millennials and younger, right? Because their traditional fan base is dying, literally.
Well, my point more is like the people who were huge Bond fans were always like almost entirely like male, like people who like action films. I mean, that's inherently what it is. It's not like there was ever a time where an entire generation thought that it was a marvelous. Like, do you know any women who are into Bond? I like the ones I know who are even seen a few. It's always because like their dad would put them on at Christmas.
Right, yeah. Like no, that's a good point.
It's like...
But then I don't know any women, Pierre.
That's so true. Well, you know,
it's a difficult question for me to answer.
Well, you've sworn to not speak to another woman after your big fight.
What I can say is none of my Japanese love pillows like Bond. That's a small sample, but it's pretty damning.
Are you saying that none of those holograms you're in love with have have seen James Bond?
No, my hollow bride won't watch one with me. She won't watch any with me. Not even Casino Royale.
The Bond franchise is so repellent and boring to most women that even the holographic ones would... Can we put something else on? Just like a bored robot.
But it was fun. I was surprised to enjoy Bond, because in my mind, James Bond is very boring. And I always put off watching it. And then I watched No Time to Die. And I was like, oh, this is pretty fun, actually. And then last night, on my own, like I was divorced, I watched Spectre. Because I hadn't actually seen that one, and Bridges the Gap. I just watched Spectre on my own for 2.5 hours. And it was also fun. I was like, oh, these are quite fun, actually. I think Quantum of Solace was so bad that it's taking a lot to override that perception that I have of them.
Maybe it's just because we're in our 30s now, so we just have to like Bond.
I don't like to think I don't say I'm in my 30s because I'm only 31.
Okay.
I think you have to be in 32. You have to have numerous 30s under your belt before you're in your 30s, you know?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You think you kind of think, well, you got to have both feet in that
grave.
Grave. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, yeah, I accept that. I don't know. I always think like this, that if I'm fine with them making Bond, you know, not a misogynist, racist, evil, whatever the political stuff is. But if you try and just add in a load of stuff to appeal to a demographic that by and large, and it's not insulting, like it's to their credit, is not taken in by this quite silly franchise. Like, I like it, but it's not, you know. I mean, Ian Fleming, when he was writing them, when he was alive, was like happy to admit that it was stuff for like young men to read on trains when they were bored and sort of make them excited and a bit horny. You know, he's basically
right, yeah.
He knew what he was up to. He was an absolute money making machine. He was popping out Bonds left and right.
Yeah,
it was the Mrs. Brown's Boys of its day, Phil. Mrs. Bond's boys. No toim to doy. That's how it would be spelled on the
nice
on the poster, because it was da movie, wasn't it, with Mrs. Brown? Did you watch Mrs. Brown da movie?
No, I've not even watched Mrs. Brown, the TV show.
What?
I think I watched like a second before vomiting instantly and having to turn it off.
I've watched a whole episode, Phil.
You watched a full episode?
Yeah.
Hmm. And what did you think?
It was mostly what I thought it would be, but I wasn't aware of just how much like looking at the camera and like kind of being on, almost like they were on a stage set rather than being filmed for TV, it would be.
Right, so it's like a bit like Fleabag, really.
Yeah, I would say, yes, I would say in a way that it's the original Fleabag, yes.
It is the original Fleabag, it's true.
And now Bond is the new Fleabag.
Flea Bond.
that's quite a fun way into the interior monologue of James Bond. You'd have to just look at the camera and go, I don't actually want a martini, I'm quite tired, but I feel like I should.
One thing I will say though is that by No Time to Die, Daniel Craig is far too old. He is too old. Inspector, he gets with Lea Seydoux, and you're like, all right, yeah, okay, I can see this, yeah, maybe. It's a bit, I think a couple of her friends would have something to say about it, but it's fine. And then in No Time to Die, it's like, who is this geriatric murderer and his carer?
Come on, but he's, you know what I mean? But he's shredded at least.
He is shredded, but... But the lines in his face, Pierre, he's getting like he's getting those like thin, like, I don't know how you even describe them. The sort of, the tent ropes on his neck, you know, the crow's feet around the Craig's feet around his eyes. Daniel Craig's more like
Daniel.
He's getting
Daniel Craig.
He just looks too old.
You sound like,
and it's really weird when they start kissing. When they start kissing, you're like, ugh,
you sound
no.
like a, you sound like you're from California, Daniel Craig.
Or Chelsea.
Or Chelsea Craig. Daniel Craig. Yeah, he's very craggly, isn't he? But he was craggly when he was young. I think he pre-cragged.
That's true. He's always cragged.
But now his craggles have craggles.
Yeah.
He's craggle yeah. rock. Yeah.
There's crags and then hills. But yeah, he's way too old. I'm glad this should be his last, because he looks fine for a lot of it, but there are a couple of shots when the light hits his face just in such a way and you go, huh! It's like a close-up in SpongeBob. Yeah. It's like, oh, jeez. All the lines and the paws and... Yeah, suddenly, like, his face is more high def, and he's like, he's done that, he's turned old on the face app thing. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ, that's not okay.
They never discuss popular culture, do they, in Bond films? So you never get to see people miss each other's references.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
They never.
Yeah, Lea Seydoux never asks Bond what music he's into.
Yeah. No one's ever had to explain a meme to Bond.
Yeah. Yeah. A meme.
It's funny, isn't it? Because what world does he live in, really? Because he doesn't, like... He interacts with brands... But because he knows about, like, he wants, you know, to drink Bollinger or whatever it is. But he doesn't, like, know about anything else. Like, he doesn't watch movies or listen to music. He's just sort of either asleep in a resort where the bed has got sort of netting on it.
Yeah.
Or he's sad in a bar, or he's running at full sprint. Those are the three things he does.
Yeah. Yeah, across the rooftop. Yep.
You never see yeah. James Bond just sort of turn on the radio of his magic car just to see what's on, and they're playing, you know, I don't know, the fucking Kinks, and he's like tapping the steering wheel or something. Nothing seems to get to him artistically, does it?
No, you're right. He doesn't really appreciate anything except the art of a woman's body. That's the only thing he seems to care about.
Is that more male? Is that like a macho thing to just be like, I don't consume any media. I am something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, considering how old the books are, I mean, these books are written at a time where, you know, most men thought colors were gay. You know, I mean, there wasn't very much freedom of expression for the quintessential masculine man.
Yes, you're watching your car, and then you it's a kind of people who'd describe the Beatles as mop tops. Look at these mop topped teens. They need a good haircut, said James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's very so much of him is still like fossilized. His DNA is from World War II completely.
I was thinking about like the brands and the cars again. There's a bit in which one is it? I think it's in No Time to Die, where there's a car chase and he's driving like a Toyota Hilux or something, and he's running away from all these goons in Land Rovers, and all the brands are very visible: Toyota, Land Rover,
yeah,
or maybe the Range Rovers,
yeah,
Toyota, Range Rover, and I'm like, ah, these companies must have paid a lot to be in there. And then he starts defeating the Range Rovers with his Hilux. And he, you know, bangs into them. And they flip over, they crash, and they smash. And I'm like, oh, would Range Rover be happy with them destroying their cars? Or, like, showing their cars being, defeated by a Toyota? do you think there's, like subscription levels to the sponsorship in James Bond? Like, if you pay enough, your car will win the fight and will not get a scratch? Like medium range, entry level subscription. You get your face on the movie, but your car will get flipped and run into a tree.
Yeah. Do you think that they go to the car manufacturers and go, all right, one of you is going to be the shit car, but still in the film. One of you is going to not even be in the film. One of you, you know, like it's an auction.
Right, yeah.
A bidding war. Or just saying to Toyota, if you pay double, we'll make you the car that wins. And they go, oh, and they do it. It's amazing. Do you remember what a big deal it was where Daniel Craig's James Bond, drank a beer?
Oh, right. Because it was the first time he drank anything other than martini and champagne.
Yeah, like up till Daniel Craig, James Bond was kind of like too fancy to drink beer.
Oh God, he drinks a bunch in these. He's like a dad at a barbecue in these movies.
Yes, he's in shorts with beers, just kind of loitering. Imagine being too posh to drink beer. That's like royal family levels of, a lager.
There's a moment in Inspector where he wakes up in the middle of the night in his hotel room and because there's a noise, and he goes over to check something and he takes a swig of his beer. And all I could think of was, ugh, that beer's warm by now. That's all I could think of. I was like, ugh, yeah. He drinks warm beer.
Yeah. That's not very gourmet of you, James.
He wears Omega watches and drives Aston Martins and he drinks warm beer. I don't think so, Sam Mendes. Try again. Better luck next time.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm still chuckling at the idea of Twitter-proofing a script. I really like that. It's like I can picture someone just like riveting a load of blue metal onto a piece of paper.
All right, the Twitter blue, like a border around it.
Yeah. Just putting it in, going out. Then like patting your hands, like that should do it. That should hold it.
Bolting on drag-proof glass.
dunk proof steel. Can't get dragged steel. Onto this.
This is reply repellent.
I'd like to see them quote tweet this. A while ago, I remember someone saying, they sent us something, anyway. In the context of whatever they sent us, they were saying, "Oh, they'd heard us talk about Twitter on BudPod, so they'd joined so that they could tweet at us." And I thought, "Oh no,
oh no,
yeah,
I feel terrible.
Yeah, I feel
we did a bad thing, Pierre.
I felt bad. I mean, like they might get the two online disease, and it'll ruin their brain. Yeah, I don't know.
They could have been happy, Pierre. They could have been happy were it not for us.
Yeah, we really opened the door to." Open the door to some misery there, I think. And I feel if you're still listening, if you've still survived since whenever that was, I apologize.
Don't sign up to anything. I now think of, when I think of social media, I think of that Aesop's fable. I think it's an Aesop fable. Of the monkey and the jar. And the jar full of sweets. You know, because when I started on Instagram, I was like, yeah. I'll get on Instagram. It's fun. I'll post a couple of pics and stuff. And now because of my work and because of things I have to promote and get people to try and tell people to come to gigs and stuff, I can't come off it. I didn't have to join it, but now I can't come off it.
Yeah.
And it's the main reason why I will not join TikTok, because I can't, you know, the temptation to go, oh, I'll join TikTok, have a look around, and then if it's not for me, I'll get off. You can't get off. And I feel like it's like that fable with the monkey in the jar of sweets, and he puts his hand into the jar and he grabs a fistful of sweets, but because his fist can't get through the hole in the jar, his hand is stuck in the jar. And all he needs to do is let go of the sweets and his hand will fit back through the lid, the opening in the jar, but he won't let go and his hand is stuck in the jar. And that's what joining a social media platform is like. It's putting your hand in a jar of sweets, Pierre. You can't get your hand back out.
Unless you let go of those retweets.
But you can't! Those resweets! You can't! You can't let go of the resweets!
It's a fistful of resweets and you need them. Do you think like people who are like retweeted and praised quite often on Twitter are just like they're building up a real like need for like constant reassurance or compliments, like little drops of serotonin.
Yeah. Yep.
And if they deleted
especially the ones who like all their retweets are just like socially righteous dunks.
Yeah.
Completely inconsequential, but socially righteous dunks. But this is the world we live in now.
Yeah.
You know, bullshit, meaningless, worthless horseshit like that. And it gets thousands, thousands of retweets. And they must feel so good. They must feel so relevant and clever and kind.
And of the moment.
But it's addictive. Yeah, and of the moment and present. Present in our world.
And but if they deleted it, if they were just like walking around the house, would they just need to just sort of stand in their living room and go, well, it's come to this in this country. And then like...
just saying out loud alone in the living room.
Yeah. Or like hoping that someone would hear through the open window and sort of go, yeah.
And he just drops his toast on the ground and goes... So this is the UK in the 21st century, is it?
He drops his toast on the floor, butter side down, and he says, just another day on Prison Island. or whatever.
Hey, Pierre, did you see, speaking of Prison Island, a whole bunch of delegates and leaders have flown in their private jets to Glasgow to fight climate change. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yes.
Pretty good stuff.
Apart from Putin and Xi Jinping.
Of course. They're too busy smoking in the back of a bus. The naughty boys, is it? The naughty boys haven't turned up.
That's it, yeah. But yeah, people have traveled to a place, Phil, in planes.
I guess they had a little choice. There's no other way to get to Prison Island. Disease Island, whatever you want to call it.
I will say, thanks to coverage of the Glasgow climate thing, I've heard the word pledge about a million times more than I normally do. Big week for the word pledge.
Yes, it's rare to see the word pledge so much outside of a house cleaning situation.
Yeah, you wouldn't, it's another one of those words where if someone used it casually, it would make them sound like an insane robot.
I wish that the news agreed that instead of pledge they have to use the phrase pinky promise.
Yeah,
so like the Prime Minister of India has pinky promised to to be carbon neutral by 2070.
Yeah, he's...
100 world leaders have pinky promised today to end deforestation by 2035. It is a significant pinky promise in the history of environmental... I don't know what you call it. Pinky promises.
President Joe Biden has sworn a gazillion times to move away from coal. No takebacks. Double no takebacks times infinity. the most strongly worded no take back we've ever heard from any US administration. Yeah. It would be weird if you were in a pub and someone was, you were like, if I buy a round now, do you pledge to buy me a beer next? Do you pledge to pay me back for this?
What's mad is that Boris Johnson is the central leading figure of this absolutely vital international effort. Like in this in that Blair and Brown documentary, they depicted the during the financial crisis when Gordon Brown, and I wasn't aware of the significance and gravity of this, but Gordon Brown almost single-handedly brought the leaders of the world together to commit to sort of essentially like quantitative easing, right?
Yeah.
And committing to cash injections into their economy to get, because he's like, this is how we get out of it. And he basically saved the world.
Yeah.
On his own. And now, with the climate crisis, we have Boris Johnson. It's like in your friend group of friends, the one who, you know, eats fertilizer on a dare and gets the most drunk the most quickly every party, has been tasked with running a pub quiz. And you're like, I don't think he should be doing this.
Or they've gone like, who should organize the stag do? And they go, the guy who would be the worst on the stag do should organize it. Yeah. The guy who's going to try and de-pants one of the airport staff.
Yeah.
A total liability.
The guy who's bought everyone's shots at the airport Wetherspoons.
Yeah, but the shots are like, you know, that's too normal, I think, for a stag do. The shots would be like full of Tabasco or something. Something where it's like just purely for being horrible.
Yeah, it's just for pain, just pure pain.
Just having a bad time. Yeah, it is weird for him to sort of stand up and go, wah, and just kind of blather on about this and that in between, I don't know, presumably scuttling back to his room and just having his eighth or ninth wank of the day. In my head, he's kind of just like constantly on the verge of just snapping and fucking whoever's nearest to him. Like a circus animal. Imagine, it's funny, isn't it, that Gordon Brown is this like tragic, grumpy economic hero, and it's sort of like this kind of central bank Batman figure who sort of, he saved Gotham, but the people of Gotham, they hate him for it.
yeah. they all ended up sort of, you know, they all got angry with him for calling a clearly bigoted woman a bigoted woman. We all knew she was a bigoted woman. It was clear to see.
Yeah.
But he said it and we're all like, well, you're not meant to say it.
I still remember her her weird phrasing was about Eastern Europeans generally. She hadn't even narrowed it down to which country. Just general Eastern Europeans. She was saying, where are they flocking from? That was her phrasing.
Right.
Where are they flocking
it's
from?
Classic animalization. Animalization, Pierre. It's a classic giveaway.
But also, like, where are they flocking from? It's like, well, you've just...
Where are they stampeding from? Where have they mated and reproduced? And where are they stampeding from and to?
Also, just like, she's saying where they're flocking from, and it's like, well, you just called them Eastern Europeans. But you know where they're flocking from.
Broadly. yeah. Albeit in a very general sense, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking up the transcript, of what she said.
You couldn't point to it on a map, lady, but you could point to it on a globe.
Yeah, you could brush your fingertips across a globe. I don't think it's happening.
But for any podbots who aren't aware of this story we're talking about, it's years ago when, towards the end of Gordon Brown's tenure, was he actually on the campaign trail of the election he lost? That might have been it, right? And he was talking to some lady somewhere, and she started talking about Eastern European immigrants, and he was still mic'd up in the car afterwards, and he said, some bigoted woman. He referred to her as some bigoted woman. And at home, I was like, yes, I was fist-punching the air. And then she found out, and the news reporters told her, because the crew was still there when they found out he'd said this in the car on the way back. And they just asked her on TV, he just called you a bigoted woman, what do you think of that? She was like, that's not very nice, the Scottish prick. No, she didn't say that. But that would have been narratively perfect.
Yeah, there we go. That's what she says. You can't say anything about the immigrants because you're saying that you're... But all these Eastern Europeans, what are coming in? Where are they flocking from? Yeah, there you go. Flocking from. It's so weird. It's just strange.
It also paints a picture of flying Eastern Europeans. The word flock.
Yeah.
It's like they're flapping their wings over here.
Eastern Europeans who are so hardworking that through sheer force of flap, they can fly. They're just that hardworking. Yeah, he gets in the car. That was a disaster. They should never have put me with that woman. Whose idea was that?
Oh, is this what he said afterwards?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, the trouble is that she wasn't bigoted enough to be described like that and get away with it.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
If she'd said, where are they all coming from? There's loads of them and they're bad. But like the fact that she's saying, oh, where are they all coming from and stuff, you just sort of go, well, now it seems like she's asking a neutral question. She's not. She's clearly just like, I don't know if you ever saw any of those interviews with people post-Brexit, but they'll be like somewhere that where the entire high street, and this must be very unnerving if you're just an old person who is completely at sea when it comes to any minorly, even vaguely foreign accent, but all the high streets have been revitalized and the only young people with kids and prams are all like Eastern European and it's all Polski skleps up and down the high street. And they're still just like, I'd rather it was nothing in these like rundown towns like Boston or...
Yeah,
all these places in outside of the major urban centers, Phil. Outside of this bubble you and I live in.
Well, to coin a phrase, they're like the Joker, Pierre.
Yo, here we go.
I just want to watch the world. It's about sending a message. It's not about the high streets. It's about sending a message.
Yeah.
As they set fire to a mountain of their own money.
Brexit so far has been like a real monkey's paw wish.
Mm-hmm.
Just like huge vote for Brexit in Kent. Now they're full of car parks and lorries and turds on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Huge vote for Brexit in Cornwall. Now all the fishing stuff's completely fucked up. Huge vote for Brexit in the northeast. It's everyone who went for it the most is being like diddled by it the most, it seems.
That's what I call social justice. That's my social justice, Pierre.
Do you think it'll ever be finished? Or is this the rest of our lives where people have to have arguments about fucking haddock quotas and queues of lorries and, oh, the shelves. People going on about the shelves. Is this forever now?
Yeah, it'll just be slow negotiation and pissing about until we get back to something vaguely close to what we already had for free. That's all it'll be.
Yeah.
And it'll take ages.
Yeah, and there'll be a few like weird new things. Like in 10 years, we'll kind of wake up and go, huh, all the lettuce is actually from Libya. That's interesting. I swear it all used to be Spanish lettuce, country of origin. Oh, well. And that'll be it. That'll be the one. Or like... There's a lot of Belarusian lager in the shops, isn't there? Something mad like that.
Oh, man. That was like... I remember at like peak lockdown, lockdown one. You remember when pasta was gone?
Oh, yeah.
You remember when there was no pasta left? And like my supermarket started like bringing in like... like brands of pasta you'd never seen in your life. it was like Lithuanian pasta. They made I don't know they made pasta in Lithuania. But it's gonna be like that. Although I have quite liked. Have you experienced many empty shelves? One of my supermarkets is like quite often and more often than not now has got empty shelves, and I'm kind of like good because I eat so much.
Yeah.
I go in and the supermarket's going, you've had enough, and I'm like, you know what, fair play, co-op.
This is the only cure to the Western obesity crisis. Is
imagine if the obesity crisis in the UK is solved because of Brexit.
Stopping a big lorry of ice cream at Dover, saying they've had enough. Turn around. Those fuckers don't need any help. Turn this goddamn lorry around. It's a death trap. I went to a supermarket at the height of lockdown one where the pasta had all run out, but there was loads of pasta left, but everyone else was too short to see it. It was just on the top shelf.
Oh, great. Tall privilege. Tall privilege. Through.
Although it was all like moderately niche shapes, but again, like,
I love that though, Pierre, because that is proper like Serengeti evolutionary advantage.
Yes, that's true.
It's so sort of animalistically satisfying when you encounter something in modern life where you go, I'm advantaged here because of a physical trait. You know what I mean? I'm eating tonight because I can literally see the fruits on the higher branches of the tree.
Yeah, I could reach these leaves and they couldn't. Yeah, it's true. The physical trait thing never comes up really day to day.
The wild pear will eat tonight because he can see the fusilli on the top shelf.
Just eating it out of the bag like a horse. Crunching down the dry fusilli.
Yeah, just crunching it and then intermittently looking from left to right for predators and then returning to the bag.
Yeah, maybe this is the solution, the supply chain diet.
Yeah.
You can't eat anything that has to come to you in a lorry. That's the weird little diet rule in ladies' magazines that are going to be promoting this.
I tried it out recently. You know these grocery delivery apps are becoming quite popular.
Oh, yes, I've seen loads of them advertised. There's been an absolute storm of them.
Yeah. They're really coming up. It's like when Uber started.
Yeah.
It's like all these deals and stuff. It's like, please, it's a good idea. We promise. Oh, please, we need to show our shareholders this interest. Please. 80% off. 80% off. Yeah. We'll bring you one tube of toothpaste. Absolutely free. We don't care. But it's the most... All these people on bicycles delivering stuff makes you feel at once like you're in the 21st century and 1930s Britain.
Yeah.
Everything's been delivered by bicycle.
Yeah.
By a boy on a bicycle.
I'm getting all my groceries teleported to me by a guy on a bike, but he's wearing like a kind of movie from the 80s set in the future wristband that tells him where to go.
Yes.
Like a magical digital ordering wristband. So it's kind of dystopian at the same time. The tone of the adverts...
It was amazing. Sorry, it was amazing getting these. Like, it took, like, honestly, just 20 minutes from ordering it on my phone to them delivering it, like, ending up on my doorstep. And it's the most lazy I think I've ever felt in my life.
Oh.
And that's big. That's quite an accomplishment.
I was going to say,
yeah. It's like, here's the shopping you could have done.
Also, yeah, here's the shopping you could have done faster than you could ever have done it.
Yeah.
Like, it's here faster than if you'd run through the supermarket, like, footage from the early part of a zombie apocalypse film, just going, ha, 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 just sweeping things into your basket.
But I also thought, we're approaching, I think... full delivery traffic, by which I mean every vehicle on the road, or like, I think we're going to hit like 80% of vehicles on the road are delivering something.
Yeah.
To someone. Because pretty soon they're moving us out of our cars. You know, London's just expanded its ULEZ zone. They want us out of our cars. By the same time, the number of delivery-based services is going up. So we're going to hit like... It'll be like the Minority Report with all those cars on the floating highways, but it's just delivery bicycles.
Cycling, you know what I mean? Cycling in the air like E.T.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then everyone's going to be like, God, all this traffic from delivery, what if we all just put it in one place and you came and bought it?
And people go, that's amazing. Wow. Yeah.
It's arranged in shelves like some kind of book library. But it's
like a library of food.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. What? And I walked here from my house and wow, it has everything.
And you pick the bags up yourself instead of being handed them to, so you're cutting out the middleman. You're cutting out the bicycle boy.
Yeah.
You're cutting out the middleman. It's straight from supermarket to consumer.
No longer will the nation be held hostage by these goddamn bicycle boy unions. Yeah, it's all going to boomerang back, isn't it? In like 100 years, maybe.
Yeah.
I always think, like, how fit are those guys? Because all they do is cycle around and bring people takeaways.
It must be torturous. They're just exercising while taking everyone food.
Their gooch and scrotum must be glowing like the fucking rod in the Simpsons intro. From just friction. Just friction. Just constant cycling. I mean, what the hell? I'm surprised the Deliveroo team don't win the fucking Tour de France every year.
I think next time, like, there's a big there's a Tour de France as a publicity stunt, like, Deliveroo should cycle water up to the athletes.
Yeah.
So they catch up with them and hand them water and say thank you, and then they sort of hang, you know, they just drop back.
Yeah. Or they like
I think I'd be good in advertising, Pierre, you know. I think I'd be like a Don Draper figure. I think I can do adverts. It's so easy to make a good advert, I reckon. That bicycle ad, I think that's good. That would win me the advertising award.
Definitely,
2021.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't know why adverts aren't better, because they are so expensive to make. They cost hundreds of thousands of millions of pounds. And mostly they're bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then someone will do one that's sort of like witty enough that you watch it and you go, ha, 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 oh, that's pretty good. And it'll be like, we win all these awards and that company will get like a $10 billion contract with some huge firm. And you think, what? That's like a sketch. Adverts are just sketches.
Yeah.
We should get into it. Yeah. Or like, Deliveroo should definitely enter a team anyway, because then they could just, like, if they won, they could showboat by winning and like having the takeaway order of the people who come second ready for them.
Wow, they won the race and with big green square backpacks on the whole time.
Yeah, full of terrible aerodynamics.
Shall we read some correspondence?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Deliver that to me.
Ring letters, emails, phone numbers,
letters, correspondence.
All right, let's do it. Let's find it. Okay, so Louis gets in touch.
Louis.
Nice. Greetings, Pierre and Phil.
Louis. I think, have we had a Louis before? Because I think I've sung the Louis song before.
I think so.
Hmm. Not many Louis. I wonder if it's the same Louis.
Yeah, it could. Yeah. Loyal Louis.
Loyal Louis.
I shall dispense. What was that? I don't remember. But anyone who hasn't heard it, go back and find the episode where Phil does the tongue twister that he makes up about Charlie Chunks or something. It still makes me laugh.
Oh, God, yeah.
Charlie Chunks.
Yeah.
And then you just broke down after a few more.
Charlie. What was I trying to do? Charlie Chunks chose a chose a chapel to change his tune. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, we were just trying to come up with tongue twisters on the fly, weren't we?
Yeah. Oof.
Louis loves listening to lovely Louis loves listening to lovely there's nothing lovely lullabies. L's quite easy.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's toilet roll tat is the subject line.
Okay.
Says, I shall dispense with the customary lavatorial introductions because, as the attached content of this missive makes clear, I'm quite literally shitting as I send this. And of course, one can have too much of a good time. Very nice. Lavatorial Louis in the loo.
Lavatorial Louis loves lying in the loo.
Loves letting loose logs.
Lovely, letting logs loose in the loo.
Yeah, horrible. Just thought I would share a bit of toilet paper wackaging tat from down here in New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand.
We may have little of COVID, but alas, we have crapulous commercial cuntitudes are as prevalent here as anywhere else. Koji, if you've got them, boys. I like that. Louis. it is the back of a toilet roll package, Phil.
The back of a toilet roll package, okay.
Yeah, a pack of six.
So it's not on the roll itself. Okay, yeah, that's on the big old bag.
And there's an incredibly cheerful 3D toilet roll, one with little legs and arms and a face.
Mm-hmm.
And he is absolutely beaming and poking out from behind a random circle, just a circle. And the circle says, softness and strength you can trust.
Yeah.
And then there is a paragraph of absolute gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of as if the cheerful loo roll is kind of poking his head round a mad abstract logo circle and just sort of telling you this as you're shitting.
Okay.
So he says, my fans reckon... I'm going to say the words that are in bold and in different colours, I'm going to say slightly louder.
Okay.
My fans reckon I'm a big softy. And they're right. With my thick embossed tissue, I'm as soft and gentle as a cloud. While still being super strong and reliable. I also stand strong on the important things, like protecting our environment, supporting our community, and providing jobs for Kiwis.
Yes, as in New Zealanders, not the hairy fruits.
Yes, I think the cheerful toilet roll is being economically nationalist there.
But I'm better than all these foreign toilet rolls.
Yeah, they might be soft and gentle as a cloud, but are they still super strong and reliable like this guy?
With my thick embossed tissue. That sounds like something you don't want to hear after an MRI.
Ooh,
I'm afraid
yeah.
There's some thick embossed tissue which will have to be removed.
I'm afraid what we found will create a lot of work for Kiwis. What? Yeah, they sort of go, what could possibly be happening? Oh my God.
Oh, wow, it's worse than I thought.
This is... I'm going to have to go to New Zealand and have some kind of specifically Kiwi surgery. Who knows? okay, so... Let's see who else. Return of the Tat Whisperer is the subject line of this one.
Oh yes, I wonder if I can. I wonder if I can still Tat Whisper. I haven't Tat Whispered in a while.
Yeah. So it's from Megan.
Megan, we beggin' for you to tell us your email. Mm.
Megan says, to my perfect pick of poopy political podcasters, P Masters Phil and Pierre. Very nice.
That's a good tongue twister.
That is good. She says, this was advertised to me recently as I surfed the World Wide Web. My inner monologue read it as Pierre, hesitating to hear how Phil would complete each part. I now realize this means I quite possibly have a bud pod addiction problem, but I also thought it would be great to hear the return of the Tat Whisperer.
Yes, let's try it.
Let's do it. Okay. It's quite a long piece of tat burned into planks of wood.
Okay.
So let's see if we can make this work. Okay, so.
Okay. Let me just warm up. Blah, 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 blah. Prosecco, Prosecco. Okay.
Okay, first, so it's sort of short bursts of sentences.
Okay, classic stuff.
Yep. Life is what? Life is something.
Life is... Are these sentences connected to one another? Does it run from...
Only by saccharine sentiment.
Life is wonderful.
Always close.
Life is wondrous.
No, you're closer with wonderful.
Is it one word?
Yeah.
Life is closer with wonder. Life is wonder?
No. Life is beautiful.
Beautiful. I almost did beautiful. God damn it. Okay, yeah. Life is beautiful.
Life is beautiful. Collect what, not what?
Collect friends, not money.
Ooh, I mean, it's exactly the right sentiment.
Oh, collect love, not things.
Ooh, it's not things is correct. Collect what, okay, not things.
Okay, collect memories, not things.
Oh, I'll give you that. It's moments, I'll give you that.
Ah, moments. Okay. Yeah.
Collect moments, yeah. Not things. Collect moments.
I love this. It's so fun.
Huh?
Collect moments, not things.
Not things.
Just live in a cave with your moments.
You own nothing.
Live in an empty barn with moments. Eat moments. Sleep on moments.
Live in a shack with your memories.
Feed your children with memories and moments. Pay your bills with thoughts and memories.
Okay, this is a longer sentence. Be someone who makes blank blank feel like blank.
Be someone who makes blank blank feel like blank. Blank. Be someone who makes stupid losers feel like heroes. Be someone who makes...
I will say that the bit that says blank blank should really just be one word. It's actually like quite... doesn't need to be written like this, but...
Oh, okay.
It could be one word, really, but they've used two where one will do.
Ah. Be someone who makes everybody...
Yeah. Yeah.
Feel like someone.
Yeah, everybody feel like somebody.
Yes. Everybody feel like somebody. Yep, great.
For some reason they've written it as be someone who makes everybody else feel like somebody.
Oh, that makes no sense at all. Everybody, I guess everyone aside from you, but that is the presumption if you say it makes everybody feel something.
Yeah, it's the presumption, and also they're really missing a trick of being able to go, be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody.
If you said, "Oh, my, that Frank's weird. He makes everybody feel uncomfortable." You go, "Oh, including himself? No, everybody else. He makes everybody else feel." you'd assume that he didn't make himself.
You wouldn't say, "Yeah, Frank makes everybody else feel like somebody, starting with him, with him." Well, because he does it to himself first. So. No beauty shines brighter than that of what? Three words.
Wow. No beauty shines brighter than that of... than that of love and kindness.
Ooh, okay, I'll narrow it down for you. You got the right idea, though. No beauty shines brighter than that of blank blank.
Oh, no beauty shines brighter than that of a beautiful soul.
Oh, you're so close.
Ah, oh, no beauty shines brighter than that of a kind heart.
Oh, it's a good heart. Oh, you.
Oh,
he's got it. Always believe that something what is going to what?
Always believe that something amazing is going to happen.
Wonderful, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Always believe that something wonderful is going to
always
happen.
Always believe. Always. Always, always, always. If you're in the middle of a forest fire, and you can't get out, please believe that you must, even then, believe that something wonderful is going to happen.
Yeah. And collect the moment.
If you're in the vice-like grip of the jaws of a grizzly bear, and you have no phone signal, and you're at the top of a mountain and no one can hear you scream, you must believe that something wonderful is about to happen.
Just try to remember the moment.
Try and be in the moment as this bear crushes your femur.
Yeah. Okay, so here's don't count the blank, but make the blanks count.
Ooh.
Don't count the blanks, Phil. But make the blanks count.
Don't count the failures, but make the failures count.
That would be better than this. That's actually a good piece of advice. This is just gibberish.
Oh, of course. Don't count the minutes. Make the minutes count.
It's days. I'll give you that.
Days. Yeah.
I like minutes, though. That's ramping it up a bit.
Yeah. That's like an Asian parent, really. Make the minutes count.
Every minute counts of the day.
Don't count the minutes, but if you do, count them correctly.
Do what you blank and blank what you do.
Do what you love and love what you
do.
You
got
it.
Yes. This one is quite odd and possibly cancelable, maybe at the extreme end.
Oh, interesting.
Life begins at the end of your blank blank.
Big dick. It's always cancelable. Life begins. Life begins at the end of your
blank blank.
Blank blank cancelable.
Very, like, if you really pushed your interpretation of it.
Right. Okay. Life begins at conception. Is that why?
Life begins at the end of your conception. Oh, this tat is
taking a turn. Okay, let me try this one more time. Life begins at the end of your 40th birthday.
Comfort zone.
I'm not
zone.
Sure. I'm gonna have to. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, it's a bit. It's a bit harassy.
Yeah.
It's a bit HR tribunal, this.
Yeah.
Life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
Life.
I'm not comfortable with this. That means that life is beginning.
That's what life's all about, baby. Read the sign. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone, he said as he accelerated to 30 over the speed limit and locked the door. Horrible. Do more of what makes you blank and blank.
Do more of what makes you nervous and afraid.
Happy and joyful, but still, yes.
Happy and joyful, do more of what... Right, okay. So life begins at the end of your comfort zone, but also do what makes you happy and joyful.
Yeah. Yeah, do everything, in other words.
Yeah. The things that you're scared of, the things that you're not scared of, things you know make you happy, the things you don't know yet might make you happy. Do everything.
Stuff that you know makes you uncomfortable, do that too. Imagine having to be told to do more of what makes you happy and joyful. I think for most people...
Oh, this feels good. I guess I won't do this again.
Yeah.
There's another way.
God, that was delicious. Oh well, can't ever have pizza again in my life.
Have I got some news for you?
Okay, the last two bits. Mistakes are proof that you are what?
Stupid. Mistakes are proof that you are trying.
Yes! Oh,
yes! Oh, okay, and the final one.
You will never regret being what?
Yourself.
Oh, it's close, but think even stupider. Oh.
You will never regret being you.
No, it's think more kind of...
Again, you will never regret... What's the more... than yourself. Never regret being more... Never regret being more brilliant.
It's pretty close. You will never regret being kind.
Ugh.
How?
Yeah, I don't regret letting that murderer into my house because he said he needed a glass of water.
Yeah.
I don't regret that.
It's a happy, joyful moment where I was outside my comfort zone.
Well, thank you for putting the Tat Whisperer back through his paces.
Yes,
he's a bit rusty, but
still pretty good.
I think there's still some life in the old dog yet.
Yeah, it says Megan says, "May the koji be with you." P.S. Where would you even begin with making everybody else feel like somebody? P.P.S. I've definitely regretted being kind.
Yes, exactly.
And because we're very behind on correspondence, looking forward to hopefully finally seeing Phil in September in Taunton. So hopefully that she did.
Wow, that is behind. That is very behind. And hopefully you did. Hopefully you did.
Hopefully you did. Well.
And hopefully I put you out of your comfort zone with my material. And that you found it joyful.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
Enjoy. Have a good one.
Have a good
one.
Goodbye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.